This morning, God's Word comes to us from Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. We are going to begin our reading at verse 45 of this chapter and then read through verse 54. Matthew 27, beginning at verse 45. What we hear now is God's Word. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, This man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. And the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs, after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, Truly, this was the Son of God. And here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalters to page 78 in the back section. Page 78 in the Belgic Confession of Faith. And this morning we will read Article 20, which is found on the bottom of page 78. This article is entitled, God has manifested His justice and mercy in Christ. We believe that God, who is perfectly merciful and just, sent His Son to assume that nature in which the disobedience was committed, to make satisfaction in the same, and to bear the punishment of sin by His most bitter passion and death. God therefore manifested His justice against His Son when He laid our iniquities upon Him and poured forth His mercy and goodness on us, who were guilty and worthy of damnation, out of mere and perfect love, giving His Son unto death for us and raising Him for our justification, that through Him we might obtain immortality and eternal life. This is our confession of faith. Well, we have been looking together at the person of Jesus Christ, who He is. We began a few weeks ago looking at His birth, at His incarnation, the fact that Jesus Christ, who is and remains eternal God, took to Himself flesh and blood, and He became a man. We talked last week about the fact that this Son of God had two natures. He was truly human. He was also truly righteous. And He had to be both to be the perfect mediator for man's sins. Now we look at the end of His life, a piece of the story of the crucifixion. And it is here, in the crucifixion, that we see all the more clearly God manifesting Himself to be that which He is, both merciful and just. We tend to want to drive a wedge between justice and mercy. Justice means you get what you deserve. Mercy means you get something you don't deserve. And yet in Christ, particularly on the cross, we see that in God, His justice and mercy is manifested, is made known, is shown most clearly in the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we look at the justice and mercy of God in Christ. We begin by reminding ourselves of why He went to the cross. We talked a few weeks, I guess probably months ago now, about man and his creation. How man was created perfect, created in the image of God, and put in a perfect location. Man created with a free will. He could choose to obey God, he could choose not to obey God. And God gave man the opportunity to demonstrate his love. God said, of the trees of the garden, you may eat of any of them, but there's one tree. There's one tree you may not eat of. And this was an opportunity for man to show his love for God by obedience. God gave him this test, we might say, to show him, yes, Lord, I do love you. I will obey you. I will follow your instructions. We can eat of all the trees, but of this tree we may not eat, so we will not eat. Man had the opportunity to demonstrate his love by obedience. But we know that man, in his free will, freely chose to disobey God. He freely chose to reject that clear word, you shall not eat of it, and he chose to go his own way. And as a result of that, God had said, in the day you eat of it, you will surely die, and therefore man received the condemnation, justly received the condemnation. God was not being unjust to man. He had laid out the expectations for man. He had told him what would happen if he sinned. If you do this, you will live. If you don't do this, you will die. And when man chooses not to follow God's instruction, when man chooses to go his own way, God is perfectly just, absolutely righteous in condemning man for his sin. There is no lack of justice in God. When we see men being sent to death for their sins, that is not a lack of justice on God's part. It is perfect justice. God had said, in the day you eat of this, you will surely die. Throughout Scripture, death is seen as the consequence of sin. Death is that consequence that comes from sin entering our life. Again, God's righteous, strict justice. We can look to Genesis 2, the passage we referred to earlier about in the day you eat of this, you will surely die. We think of a text like Psalm 5, you destroy those who tell lies, bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors. Even the text we read earlier this morning from Ezekiel chapter 18, the soul that sins is the one that shall die. Sin brings about death. In Romans 5, we read that therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. What is the consequence of sin? The consequence of sin in God's strict justice is death. And that's why in the Old Testament, when they made sin offerings, they would kill animals. They would shed the blood of goats and bulls to make atonement for their sins. It was a picture of what was required. For sin to be taken care of, death had to be offered up. In that case, the death of an animal. We read through the book of Leviticus about the different types of offerings, but the sin offering required death. Death for sin. It's so easy for us to think that that's a bit harsh on the part of God. Death, really? For the sins we commit? We tend in our own minds to minimize sin. We talk about our sin as if it's a character flaw. Oh, I know I get angry sometimes. That's just the way I am. Just a character flaw I have. We talk about sin as a lifestyle choice. This is the way I choose to live my life, and who are you to tell me differently? Sin is not simply a character flaw, a lifestyle choice, just the way we are. But our sins of pride, anger, lust, greed, all of them, offenses against a holy God. Even the way the term sin is used today is used as a punchline for a joke on a TV sitcom. It's used as a throwback to the Puritan age when they weren't allowed to do anything. Everything was sin. We have to get God's perspective, if I can put it that way, on sin. God is a holy God. In fact, He is thrice holy. The angels call out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." There is no other attribute of God that is said three times about Him. He's never said to be loving, 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 or even righteous, righteous, righteous. But He is holy, holy, holy. Pure. His eyes too pure to even look upon sin. It is this holy God who justly comes in judgment upon those who sin against Him. Our sin is not a little thing, not a small thing, but it is an offense against a holy God. And therefore we see Christ here on the cross, justly suffering in His humanity for the sins of mankind. Because God is a just God. He won't punish any other creature for the sins of mankind. The mankind that sinned must pay for the sin. That's what we talked about last time. Jesus had to be truly human. He had to be really like us, flesh and blood, because God was going to pour out His wrath on humanity. And Christ comes to take that wrath and punishment for us. He's on the cross, and there is darkness. Darkness in midday, when the sun should be shining brightly, God brings darkness. Because sin is being paid for. Sin is being punished on the cross. And Jesus cries out with this voice, my God, why have You forsaken Me?" That's the punishment for sin. To be forsaken by God. To have Him turn His face away from us. A punishment that leads to death. Jesus cries out in a loud voice and yields up His spirit. He has called out, "My God, why have You forsaken Me?" The only time in the Synoptic Gospels when He refers to God not as His Father. Because He's not there as the Son of God at this point. He is there hanging as the Son of Man, the offspring of Mary, the one who in His humanity is taking all the guilt, all the punishment, all the weight of sin upon Himself. And God is absolutely just to punish mankind for the sins of mankind. But there's something else going on here as well. Yes, Christ is there, really as a man, really suffering for the sins of mankind. But remember, He was not only truly human, He was also truly righteous. He had no sin of His own. He was made like us in every way, sin excepted. So children, why is Jesus on the cross? He didn't have any sin. God said He would punish humanity for the sins of humanity, but Jesus had no sin. Why is He hanging there? It is because of the great mercy of God. God is absolutely just in punishing mankind for his sin, but God is also merciful. For Jesus is hanging there not because of His own sin, but because of our sin. Our confession says, "We believe that God, who is perfectly merciful and just, sent His Son to assume that nature in which the disobedience was committed, human nature, to make satisfaction in the same, and to bear the punishment of sin by his most bitter passion and death. God therefore manifested his justice against his Son when he laid our iniquities upon him and poured forth his mercy and goodness on us who were worthy of damnation, but out of perfect love giving us his Son to die in our place. Jesus was not there because of any sin he committed. He was not there because he had done anything wrong to violate the law of God. No, he is there in our place because of our sin. The harsh words that we speak, the harsh words we speak to our spouse, to our brother or sister, the harsh words we speak toward those who are friends in the Lord, the inappropriate thoughts that we have toward those around us, these are what nailed Christ to the cross. It's easy for us to think that he was there for the sins of humanity, he was there for the sins of his people. We must not forget he was there for our sin. The things that we do today, the things that we have done this morning that have been an offense against a holy God. It is these that brought him to the cross, and it is these in which God shows his immense mercy that he doesn't punish us. He doesn't send us to eternal death. Christ cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But God does not forsake us. Fallen sinners though we are. Rather than showing us his strict justice, he shows us his extreme mercy in sending Christ to come and take our place on the cross. We have a week of preparation coming ahead of us as next Lord's Day. We plan to celebrate the Lord's Supper. On that week before Lord's Supper, it is a good practice to reflect upon what is taking place in the supper, to reflect upon the justice and the mercy of God. And we think this coming week, as we will spend time in our devotions, about our sin, about those things that are an offense against God, those harsh words, those evil thoughts, those bad actions. And as we reflect upon that and our hearts become heavy, and we know that we stand justly condemned under the strict justice of God, we also recognize his mercy and his grace in giving us his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for us, to give us life from death. We see that life from death, God's extreme mercy, already seen near Jesus at the cross. When he is there and he gives up himself for the sake of his people, we read in verse 52, the tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now that's a very strange occurrence, which I certainly don't understand the fullness of, but I do understand this. Here we see life from death. Those who were dead, those who were in the tombs, those who had already died are brought back to new life in light of the cross. The picture of life from death already back then. And God continues to do that same glorious work today. Oh, we don't go to the graveside and see bodies coming out of the tombs. No, that's not what we see anymore. We see something even more miraculous, even more amazing. As hearts that are dead in sin are brought back to life by the finished work of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. As those who in their fallen nature would again and again turn away from God, turn away from his ways, would go to that one opportunity to show love and then disobey, God changes those hearts God changes those lives. And he brings us into a beginning of a conformity to his word. We see in our own lives the great work of God. That we who were dead in transgressions and sins have been made alive by the work of Jesus Christ. By the extreme mercy of God, giving us new life, giving us his righteousness, giving us his perfection. Already at Calvary, this picture of life from death is given to us. The tombs are open, the bodies come out, and there's a confession that's made. The centurion is there. He is watching all that takes place. And he says, truly, this was the Son of God. He confesses the truth that he sees. In light of all of this, truly, this was God's Son. Have you made that confession? Oh, we can talk about the person and work of Jesus Christ, but as long as it stays apart from us, abstract, away from us, it is simply an interesting discussion. Have you made the confession? Truly, I know, I believe, he was the Son of God. Truly, I see he has taken my sin, my shortcomings, my failings, and taken all of them upon himself, that I might know the mercy of God rather than his strict justice. Because Christ and his death, Christ and his work to bring new life, doesn't come to everyone. Only those who confess know the truth of this exchange, of the justice exchange for mercy. Because notice who came forth from the tombs. The Bible never gives us anything extra, but it says, look at the details. Who came forth from the tombs? The tombs were opened, and the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. The bodies of the saints, those who had confessed, those who knew Jesus Christ. Now, this is not an indiscriminate general resurrection. This is those who knew Christ, who knew God, who knew his work. They are the ones that are brought to new life. And that is our calling again today. To acknowledge his work in our lives. To acknowledge it is not simply for our mom and dad that he died. It is not simply for our brother and sister that he died, but it is for us. Truly, he is the Son of God, and I make that confession. As you enter preparatory week this coming week, and you reflect upon what you have done, it simply brings us to death. My sins, my shortcomings, my words, my actions, it brings us to death, but Christ takes that and turns our eyes toward him. And for all who have confessed, I know him. I know what he has done. We have the great hope of life. And next week, Lord willing, as we come to the Lord's table, we are strengthened in that life, strengthened by his body and blood, strengthened to continue to live for him. Strengthened by Christ himself, we have experienced the mercy of God. Christ receives the justice. We receive the mercy. And he calls us to live in a way that brings honor and glory to him. May God bless us in this week of preparation, not simply to highlight the sins which would keep us away from the table, but the great justice and mercy of God in Jesus Christ, which invites all who believe to come, to take, and to eat, and to live. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, how we thank and praise you for the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who was and remains true and eternal God, the one who came and took on our flesh and blood, the one who was made like us in every way except for sin. Oh, we know, O God, that you are a just God, that the wages of sin is death. But we thank you that rather than forsaking us eternally, you have showed us your mercy in your Son, Jesus Christ. He went to the cross that we might know your love. Oh God, may that encourage us in this week to come. May that help us to prepare, to come with gladness to your table next Sunday morning, that we can rejoice in what you have done in our lives. Hear our prayer, O God, for Jesus' sake. Amen.